hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider adoption of general MPDS permit number CAG-011001, order number R1-2012-001, general waste discharge requirement order number R1-2012-002, and the conditional waiver of waste discharge requirement order number R1-2012-003 for the regulatory program for waste discharge from dairies and concentrated animal feeding operations in the North Coast region. These items have been properly noticed. Will all those expect to give testimony in these matters please stand, raise your right hand, and take the following oath? Do you swear and affirm that you will tell the truth in these matters?
Yes.
Fantastic. At this time, we'll start with staff presentation. I would remind people, it seems like we have a pretty full house on this, that if you wish to address us on this issue, you need to fill out a speaker card. We would be happy to take your comments. So with that, Ms. Sherry.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Sherry Blatt, Water Resources Control Engineer with the Regional Water Board staff. This is item 9, public hearing to consider regulatory program for waste discharges from dairies and concentrated animal feeding operations in the North Coast region. I would like to enter into the record the files included in your agenda packet for this program, including the waiver, the general waste discharge requirements, and the NPDES permit, which is your binder, and also a changes sheet, which I'll discuss later in my presentation. Your agenda package for this item is organized by tabs with each of the components of the three permits. Note that changes made to the public review draft in response to public comments are shown in the strikeout and underline. A clean copy of the draft permits is provided in your binder in yellow. Here's our outline. First, I'll explain a little bit about the development of this dairy program. Next, we're presenting three components of the dairy program: the waiver, the general waste discharge requirements, and the NPDES permit for CAFOs. I'll discuss the waiver and GWDR, then Lisa Bernard will present the NPDES permit. Then I'll present the public comments that were received during the public review period and modifications made to the draft permit since the public comments were submitted. Lastly, there'll be a question and public comments opportunity at the end of the presentation. It's been great working with the dairy industry and all the interested stakeholders over the past 2 years through meetings and the over 40 dairy assessments and tours that we've conducted. This has been an enjoyable cooperative effort, and staff looks forward to working with the dairy producers on implementation of the Water Quality Protection Program. There are three permits that make up the dairy program: the waiver, the general waste discharge requirements, and the NPDES permit. Common elements in all three orders are water quality protection, monitoring, and reporting. Similarities in the GWDR and the waiver include, at a minimum, compliance with prohibitions listed in the orders for no discharge of nutrients to surface and groundwater, and demonstration of compliance of State Title 27 requirements, which are retention of wastewater during a 25-year, 24-hour storm. That's about 5 inches in 1 day in Sonoma and Humboldt counties, and over 7 inches in 1 day in Del Norte County. Protection of manure ponds from 20-year peak stream flows, clay pond liners or more protective liners for manure ponds, manure application to fields at reasonable rates, control of runoff, and minimization of nutrient percolation to groundwater. Key differences between the waiver and the GWDR lie with risk. The waiver is intended for dairies with a low risk to water quality. The GWDR is intended for dairies that cannot demonstrate compliance with Title 27 state minimum requirements or the waiver and therefore potentially pose a threat to water quality. This is demonstrated in the next table. The key differences between the permits are in the waste and nutrient management planning, reporting, and the fees. Both permits require waste and nutrient management planning, but the GWDR requires more reporting to demonstrate that the wastes are managed in a manner that is protective of water quality. The waiver requires preparation of a water quality plan. The GWDR requires preparation of a waste management plan for the milk production area, and the nutrient management plan for the land application of nutrients in the fields. CAFOs are concentrated animal feeding operations are facilities with over 700 milking plus dry cows. These facilities must develop a nutrient management plan with federal regulations. Fees. There's no fee for the waiver proposed at this time, but this could change depending upon actions state board may make in the future. The fee schedule for the GWDR is in attachment 1, just after the notice of intent form, and is calculated by herd size. Next, Lisa will present the draft NPDS permit.
So the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permit applies to the concentrated animal feeding operations in our region, not just dairies, but it also could cover horse facilities or duck or chicken facilities or swine. The NPDS permit implements both federal and state regulations. And it's the only one of the Region 1 permits that actually allows for discharges to surface water under very specific conditions. So the designation as a concentrated animal feeding operation is based on size and assumes that there will at some point be a discharge to surface water, which would only be allowed during that 25-year, 24-hour return storm event, and it would be the overflow from a containment area that would reach surface waters. That would be the only allowable discharge to surface water. We're expecting that folks in the region who desire coverage under the NPDS permit will self-identify. They would submit a notice of intent. At the same time, they would need to also submit a nutrient management plan. That nutrient management plan will undergo staff review and concurrence. If the nutrient management plan does not meet all of the criteria required in the permit at the time it's submitted, then staff would work together with the facility operator to bring that plan up to compliance so that we could concur with it. The nutrient management plan in the NPDS permit actually serves as the effluent limitations. So once staff has concurred with it, it would go out for public review for 21 days. And when we pass the public comment process, then staff would write a letter to the discharger specifying the exact things in the nutrient management plan that will be evaluated for compliance. Nutrient management plan in the NPDS permit is a very comprehensive plan. It relies primarily on best management practices, but also requires a water balance, calculated rates of application, and must identify the fields and the crops that would be used for fertigation. And I think with that, Sherry will tell us about some public comments.
We received written comments during the noticed public comment period from 7 organizations. The bulk of these comments were from UC Davis. Most of these groups are active stakeholders during the development phase of these permits. Staff have responded to all comments in the response to comments document included in the beginning of your agenda package. Staff made revisions to each of the permits in response to public comments. The revisions fall into several categories. Editorial corrections, such as typographical errors. Others were clarifications to better clarify staff's intent and to make language consistent with the orders, the monitoring reporting programs, and the fact sheets. A few modifications were substance-oriented, including changes to deliverable dates, a few technical changes, and modifications to the definition of existing facilities. I'll go over these last three in the next slide. These are date changes for the waiver and the GWDR permits. For instance, the first two rows go over the notice of intent. This was changed from April 19th to April 30th to help dairy operators better track end-of-month deadlines. Next, the waiver. The waiver's water quality plan was changed from July to November to give operators more time to submit their map and measurements for compliance. This also gives regional board staff time to coordinate training to help dairy operators fill out the water quality plan with the waiver. The general waste discharge requirements has a waste management plan for the milk production area and a nutrient management plan for the land application area. These dates were accelerated by 1 year to better protect water quality. We'll be working with producers having difficulty meeting any of these deadlines. Next, the technical changes. The nitrogen budgeting requirements in the nutrient management plans were changed to better reflect pasture-based dairies in our region. Nutrient management plan language was also edited to allow work by technical service providers that are certified by the Natural Resource Conservation Service and other specialists. Here's an important change that was made to the waiver and the GWDR language. Herd sizes fluctuate. We wanted to show that as long as the dairy's physical capacity is not exceeded, we would allow the herd size fluctuations. So finding number one now clarifies that the existing facility is constituted by the design capacity of the physical facility rather than by the herd size. However, it can be noted that the maximum herd size is dependent upon the design capacity of the physical facility. The waiver and the GWDR were modified to remove the 15% above maximum limit that was in the public review draft. The language was replaced with the statement that no expansion of physical facilities are allowed. This is an allowance. There is an allowance for limited alterations as long as these alterations do not increase the capacity of the physical facilities. For example, a dairy in 2004 may have been at the dairy's maximum capacity. Many dairies now have a much lower herd size because of the economy. These permits do not limit the herd size as long as the dairy has the infrastructure. These are public changes not made. There are a few that we did not address through changes in the order. For instance, one commenter requested reduced monitoring parameters for surface waters and reduced frequency of groundwater monitoring. Staff did not recommend changes to the monitoring requirements. Another comment requested redundant legal language be removed. These comments were noted, but staff determined that it was in the best interest of the resource to retain the existing language. At the beginning of my presentation, I mentioned that we have a changes sheet. Included in the changes sheet are editorial corrections and clarifications that staff made after the tentative orders were printed. These changes are logical outgrowth edits and should be included in the record. Yours is purple. I'm sorry, your changes sheet is not white like mine. It's purple. Thank you. Late comments. We received three written comments after the close of public comment period, which ended December 5th. Staff do not believe that any of these comments warrant changes to the order. We recommend that the letters not be entered into the record. And next steps include finalizing a work plan for administering the dairy program. This includes internal training for staff, inspection, scheduling, budgeting, and personnel. Also, there will be education and outreach, such as a notice to dairies to comply. We have 16 dairy assessments planned for February or March, and there'll be general assistance with program compliance, such as training for filling out the water quality plan for the waiver next summer or fall. This is our contact information. All these slides will be put on the dairy program webpage for people, in case people need to contact us. And this is the staff recommendation. Staff is proud of the work on the dairy program and feel it will be a success in protecting water quality. Our recommendation is adoption of the three dairy orders with changes revision sheet, the NPDES permit, R1-2012-0001, the general waste discharge requirements, R1-2012-0002, and the waiver of waste discharge requirements, R1-2012-0003. We're happy to take any questions at this time.
That probably feels pretty good to get that done. It's nice to get here. Thank you for being here and presenting. Board members, comments or questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Hales.
In going through this chunk of work, there was a couple of things that I kind of honed in on, and it was nice to get through all of the comments and the response to comments, and I appreciate how those were organized. It made it really easy to get through those, so thank you for doing that, which also helped me focus in on some of the areas that I wanted to talk about. And one thing that I did notice, and this is just kind of goes back to what I do for my day job, is some of the hydrology requirements. And one thing that I noticed was that there is a requirement for things to be designed relative to a 20-year peak stream flow event. And in a 20-year event, that's 20 years is kind of a non-standard recurrence interval. When looking up flood frequency information, if it's even available for your site, it's typically given in 5, 10, 25, 50, and 100. So my recommendation would be to change that to a 25-year if that doesn't have a cascading ripple effect. Could
I just mention that that's a state Title 27 requirement? I don't know that we can change that.
Okay. No, it's helpful to hear that. It could make, though, for, and this is going to lead into my second comment then, if that's something that might not be changed or could cause havoc if that's changed, then it's going to be, in a lot of cases, challenging to do that computation. There's so many places. I mean, if you're even fortunate enough to be located adjacent to a stream that has a gauge, that has a record sufficient enough to have flood frequency analysis of information that is either available or can be computed, we get into a whole different world when we're talking about ungauged areas or areas that are far away from other streams. So to do a flood frequency analysis requires hiring a professional to have them come in and do that work. So I understand that there's challenges linked to that. So getting that over to my second comment is that one of the commenters, or maybe more than one commenter, said, you know, can you please provide some information for us, reference material, where we can get this information? I think that's very helpful for the people that don't have those tools at their disposal. I think it's also, it does another thing, is it also gives somewhat of a staff endorsement, if you will, of an accepted reference location for where to get this. The response to comments were fairly general. Well, you can get your information from USGS or NOAA or Soil Conservation Service or something. And so that's a little too broad. And sometimes those agencies present that information, and you may actually get conflicting results for maybe a 25-year, 24-hour storm. Some of the data for those are current only through 1986 in some areas, and maybe even more outdated than that. So I think as you go forward in either working with dairies and other operations to either go through, you know, either continued workshops or how to actually fill out the information and compute the information, it would be very prudent for us to provide those links to how to do that, to either, not necessarily how to do the work, but where you can get this information. You know, an inch per hour per 24 hours, you know, where do we get that measurement from? Up where I live, do I get it from Eureka? Do I get it from McKinleyville? Do I get it from Oreck? Do I get it from somewhere out in the Eel River Valley? What do I use for that? And, you know, clearly it's going to vary. So I'll kind of stop with that. You know, I think, you know, again, you know, even with the 100-year peak storm event, you can either get that from a USGS flood frequency or you can get that from a published FEMA map. Those might actually vary substantially. So a little bit more guidance would be helpful. That would be my recommendation.
Okay, thanks. I think we gave a general answer because this was the public record. And we know that websites change. We could give a website, but in 2 days they could take it off the web, and that would not be helpful anymore. Okay, so well, we can give like a
maybe the agency itself and where to go with that.
Yeah. Well, I think you can keep the general referral and then go, currently there's a website at blah, blah.
Yeah, I think as we have the training set up for the summer, we can easily put all that stuff on our web page, and then as addresses change, we can change our web page.
I think by doing that, you know, and you feel what's an appropriate balance for doing that, but that's going to enable some folks to be able to do that work on their own rather than to hire somebody to do that work. So the more you can provide, the more we have the ability to help reduce costs for somebody to hire a professional to do that work.
But I would keep both the general and then the specific. So if you're a day off or something and someone can't find or something, you've given as much guidance as possible. So I'd do both.
Excellent suggestions. Other board member comments, question, Ms. Harris?
My question is regarding the economics around developing one of these plans. I know that that folks are probably going to lean pretty hard on the Natural Resource Conservation Service and the local RCDs in order to develop these. However, both of those organizations have limited staff and limited time. And not knowing what the new farm bill is going to throw out, money is a lean commodity right now in terms of being able to help people. So I'm just wondering, have you guys gotten any feedback, or has there been any discussion about how, if a landowner does have to hire a private firm to do this plan for them, what is the cost? What's the baseline cost for that? Has anyone like looked into that to see how much it's going to cost the producer to do one of these?
I don't know the cost. I know that we had a technical service providers training around December 15th at Humboldt in the Ag Center in the auditorium, and the room was full. Yes. Of consultants who want to get certified. And the idea is that the dairy operators will put their name on the list with NRCS to get a nutrient management plan funded, and then those technical service providers will get paid through NRCS matching funds for doing that work. And so a lot of the dairies are on the list to receive a CNMP, and we'll work with them if they can't get it, you know, on time for some reason. There are some, I know that they just had the cutoff date for 2013. Mm-hmm. So now in November 2012 is going to be where people can get on the list for the following
next year.
Yeah.
So my concern with that is, I work for the NRCS, so I'm pretty familiar with the way that the programs work. And when you say cost share, that is the landowner pays for the project in totality up front. And if they are funded, they send in for reimbursement, usually about half of what that costs. The group of technical service providers consisted of, you know, some people from out of the area, but mostly the local consulting firms. And there's a lot of things haven't settled yet in terms of how they're going to be paid. And so there's a good question, you know, how that's going to flush out for the landowner. So I was just wondering, if a landowner had to pay for it in totality, how much would it cost? And has that been a consideration? And then the long-term costs of the sampling, how much do each one of those samples cost the landowner? And then also the availability of those people who are qualified to create these plans may be a limited resource. And with that being said, my concern is for the amount of time, 1 year, to have this entire plan done may be a struggle. If there's an inundation for the need for the planners and there's only like four, you know, people that are certified, there could be a problem. And I see that there's a note in here that you're able to ask for an extension within 30 days prior to the deadline. And I'm just wondering how our office is going to handle it if we do get a flush of a whole bunch of folks that need that extended time. So
yeah, that's okay. Those are all really good points, and those all came up during the stakeholder meetings as well. We have training that we're going to do so that the dairy operators can do as much of this as possible. I know that there are a lot of organizations right now that are helping dairy producers to measure their production area right now to find out if their ponds are sized for the Title 27 requirements or not. Because since the last time they measured their production area or the pond size, there have been changes on the dairies, so they don't know what exactly their numbers are. So there are a lot of people going around right now doing measurements. And some of the training that we have, the dairy producers will be able to do a lot of this work themselves. We're going to have a training, maybe two in Sonoma County, two in Humboldt County, one in Del Norte County, so that people can come and do as much of this themselves as they can and reduce the costs. The other question that you had about the stormwater monitoring and how much that will cost, there are groups in Sonoma County, Marin, and Humboldt County where they can join a group. It's probably on the order of less than $200 per year to do the water quality sampling.
Sherry, may I ask you for our benefit to maybe walk us through the process, not only of enrollment, but also those trainings, because that was a significant component. We're lucky to have actually a very engaged community here of not only producers, but we have expertise from institutions and organizations here, and maybe paint in some of those steps that are coming as they relate to these timelines and how, especially the water quality plan was a specific workshop, correct? That it's a participatory
yes.
process. It's facilitated to allow these producers to basically walk through this, correct?
Yes. If we could go to slide 13, and I'll walk you through the timelines. Okay, so for all the dairies, the very first deadline that they'll be worried about is April 30th, 2012. That's like a two-page notice of intent that is attachment one directly after the waiver. It's also attachment one directly after the GWDR. It's right after the order. Okay, so they'll fill that out and sign it, and that is their first deadline. Okay, so that's where they have to choose between the waiver or the GWDR. And I know people are running around right now helping them to measure their production area to see if their ponds are sized big enough, and they'll know whether they can fit under the waiver or the GWDR.
Okay.
Then the next deadline that they'll worry about is November 30th, 2012. If you fit under the waiver, then you need to fill out a water quality plan. And you can come to a training that we'll have probably next September or October to fill those out. There are no sampling that need to be handed in at that time. It's a form that's part of the monitoring reporting program. I think it's about 6 pages. There's a lot of blanks, so you can explain what your best management practices are. And there's a map that's required. And we can help people to fill out those and find a place to print their maps. If you don't have the waiver and you have the general waste discharge requirements, a waste management plan for the production area and a nutrient management plan for the field application area are due January 19th, 2013. And we can certainly have a workshop if we feel that there are enough people interested and need help in doing that. We know there's a lot of people on the list. I was surprised at the last two assessments that we did maybe 25 assessments in November and December, and I was surprised how many people now were on the list for a CNMP. The word has gotten out, and a lot of them are working on it right now, and they're probably going to have this by this date. So for the few that, you know, need to fit under the GWDR and need that deadline, they can certainly call, and we can try to figure out if we need to do a training for that number of people. I don't know how many that number is.
Sherry, also just to be clear, the sampling that's gone on or that's to go on here, we're talking about field parameters, electrical conductivity, total ammonia, pH, and temperature as a group, correct? So we're not really talking, I assume, I see this has been changed to total ammonia from just ammonia, and that's in our correction sheet here, but essentially these are field parameters that can be measured in a field parameter manner. These aren't necessarily lab samples.
Right. The surface stormwater monitoring 3 times a year during a 1-inch storm are field samples. So they can have a thermometer, a pH meter, electric conductivity meter, and ammonia strips. I called Charlene Herbst of Region 5, the dairy program down there, and I asked her how dairy operators do the ammonia sampling, because she does some field work in that area. She said that she goes down to an aquarium store and buys a strip, an ammonia color strip, that costs about $1 each. And she said it's very important to keep the strips clean and dry, and you dip them into the water and you compare the color and you can tell what the total ammonia is. Now, on the Region 5 website, they have under dairies, they have guidance documents. And you scroll down to ammonia, they have about a 5-page guidance document on how to interpret your ammonia. So on the last 3 pages, you go by what your ammonia strip said. Let's say it's 3 milligrams per liter ammonia. Then you go down the table with your temperature and your pH measurement, and you can tell unionized ammonia. 0.02 milligrams per liter unionized ammonia is toxic to aquatic life. So if you're in that yellow or brown zone on her little table, you know that you have a problem on your dairy and you need to correct it. If you're in the blue zone, you're okay. So that's a little bit about ammonia.
And by the way, I would just put out that you can often have a pH, temperature, and conductivity meter as a 1 meter. That's a very common pairing of parameters.
We'll bring that to the water quality training that we're going to have next summer, too, so
Fantastic.
We can show people how to do that.
If finally, too, group monitoring is still allowed under these permits, as has been done in certain areas.
Yes.
Fantastic. Any other board member comments or questions? Okay, we have a stack of speaker cards here. I imagine you'll come back and see us on after we're done with this. I have Paul Martin, followed by Deanne Myers. Sorry, Deanne Myers. Sorry, Daniel. Good catch. Yes, Armand, anybody that came in late, if you want to address us on this item, you need to have a speaker card. We'd love to hear what you have to say.
Good morning, Mr. Norton, Chairman, and members of the board. My name is Paul Martin. I'm with Western United Dairymen. We're a dairy trade association representing our membership throughout the state of California. We work from San Diego to Del Norte and from the Bay Area over to the Sierra. So we've been engaged in the water quality business for quite some time, as has the dairy families here in the North Coast. We've got a lot of families that have been here for four or five generations, been productive members of the community. We've got several farms that have been operated by the same family for over 100 years. Mine is a young farm. It's only 92 years old. But our dairy families are not in the abstract. They're your dairy families. They produce your milk. They live in your communities. They're your volunteer firemen. They're your little league coaches. They're your Rotarians. Our guys are very proud of who they are and what they do. And they've worked hard since the implementation of the Port of Cologne Act, which really changed the world as far as manure management goes on our livestock facilities. And they've come a long ways, but they have not done that without a certain cost. We've lost a substantial number of dairies in this region over the past years. However, discharges that were once considered a chronic problem in the 1970s are now reduced to singular episodes that are very quickly corrected. And a lot of the credit for that goes to the groups in Humboldt County and Sonoma County that have formed to help producers through this process. The Animal Resource Management Committee here in Sonoma and Marin counties, and the Environmental Committee that was formed up in Humboldt County. I do want to commend the efforts of your staff. They were very definitely boots on the ground throughout this process, literally. They've created a regulatory structure that will allow producers to trust and take ownership of the program that they've developed. These folks were not stuck in a cubicle. They came out to dairies. They looked at the facilities. They tried to understand what was being done. And most importantly, they listened to what producers had to say. I also want to thank those producers that allowed the staff to come out to their facilities. There is, of course, a certain amount of apprehension and risk in a situation like that. But our producers stepped forward and opened their facilities so that your staff could actually get to know them and see what was happening. Also, we've put together a pretty substantial support team after implementation, and some of the folks that talk after me will explain that to you. We've got the Resource Conservation Districts, we've got NRCS, we've got California Department of Food and Agriculture, we've got the University of California, we got the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program, which is going to be doing a lot of the work on the outreach and education portion of this. I told the board early on, 2 years ago, the first workshop that you had, that my goal in this whole process was to come to this hearing and state that I was in support of the staff recommendation. And that's exactly what I am doing at this stage of the game. We support the staff recommendation. We accept the challenge of maintaining and improving clean water in the North Coast region. We recognize that the ball is in our court, and we commit that we will do our part. So thank you for the work that you put into this. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Well, Paul, I thank you sincerely. This started 2 years ago, and we're very lucky to have this community that works on this. We're very lucky to have the producers that are open to the challenge, because it is going to be a challenge, and we recognize that. So sincerely, thank you. Any board member comments or questions for Mr. Martin? Ms. Harris.
I can say that one of my favorite things about getting to work with private landowners, whether they're ranchers or dairymen, is that you're probably, I mean, with the exception of a few, you're probably not going to meet harder working folks. And it's good to hear you say the comments that you've had today. That's awesome. Kind of puts our hearts at a little rest. But yeah, I know that the dairy community will take it and they'll be game on. And I think that it's awesome that the staff has come to the point where, like you said, they've been invited onto farms and they're able to walk around and really see the day-to-day work that it takes to produce food and for our country. So thank you for coming, and you guys and the staff should take those comments to heart, and good job.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear from you again. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you.
Next, I have Deanne Myers, followed by Casey Walsh. Katie?
Good morning. My name is Deanne Meyer. I neglected to introduce myself last time I was here. I'm in the Animal Science Department at UC Davis in the College of Ag and Environmental Sciences. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to the staff who has very patiently been engaged in this whole process and spent a lot of time and energy trying to wrap their arms around what the regulatory issue is and how to deal with this particular industry, and also to thank them for all their effort in answering the numerous comments that were provided during the public comment process. It's real important for all of us that we're on the same page and that we understand what the intent is as well as how to carry it out. There's going to be a tremendous amount of educational activity, certainly not to be limited to just the next 9 months. So I'm going to give you just a real quick, brief overview. There will be other people who will go into some detail. Through the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program, and our assistant director, Denise Molinax, traveled up today to join us, we will be doing a series of meetings. We will start with a meeting prior to the deliverable in April for the notice of intent to help people fill those out so they understand the intensity and the importance of these documents, and that this is a new era for them versus what they've been doing previously with respect to their relationship with the Water Board. We anticipate holding a meeting in July as well to start on the first half of the Water Quality Plan. The Water Quality Plan breaks down into some very technical questions related to storage capacity and calculating storage capacity. We're going to rev up an old tool we've used previously to help people do this themselves so they can take their own aerial measurements and do it. Someone will talk about the maps. And so they can see where they can save storage requirements by rerouting water or reducing water use. Then we anticipate part two of the Water Quality Plan. And as you read through the plan, you put yourself in the boots of a dairy farmer and you say, wow, how are they really going to answer these questions? Our hope is to put together, I believe, a pictorial analysis to help them identify the best management practices that they may or may not be doing that would help answer some of those questions. So people understand that for many parts of the Water Quality Plan, they may already be doing it. They may not know what it's called from a regulatory interpretation side, but to help branch and bridge what the vocabulary is between what they do and what the Regional Water Board sees upon an inspection. We anticipate in this process there will be lots of questions, and you very clearly hit the nail on the head with the 20-year peak stream flow. It's the law. We don't have anything we can do about that one. But there's certainly logical ways to answer it. And for people who've been on their property for 50 years, if the water hasn't inundated the manure pond, odds are pretty good they're clear. So we'll work with staff to carefully and legally be sure we have questions and answers. And we adore your staff in that they will provide these answers in a timely fashion so that everybody, whether they're consultants or NRCS or dairy industry stakeholders, will have the answer in a reasonable time frame to comply with all these requirements. The RCDs have stepped up to the plate, bar none, and they're going to do some real heavy lifting. They'll explain that. Part of our educational process As far as the classes, we try not to schedule classes more than 3 hours because, quite frankly, even with a break in a three-hour period, it's more than most people can endure. And we will craft each of the three curriculum we've already identified right now to help people prepare for the next meeting as well as get them going and finished with the current task at hand. So I know we will have questions. I know that no matter how much effort everyone has put into writing this document, there will be questions that will need to be answered and we'll need to have to go through legal review and all of that, but we're all certainly appreciative that it will get done. It will get done before the deliverables are due and everybody will be on the same playing field. So we will include in the educational program proper sampling and chain of custody information. That was a discussion last time. And we'll include good record keeping techniques. We will work with staff to provide as many templates for the producers so they understand what they're doing. Quite frankly, many of the dairy producers in this region already keep Buku data because they're organic. And so they have beyond what staff may want. We'll have to have them funnel it down to just what's needed under the order for them to have available when staff come out and do visits. So I certainly look forward to working with your staff, certainly appreciate all their efforts. They're going to put a lot of time in on this over the next many months, and I thank you for giving them the opportunity to invest that time. It's really important that we work with the dairy producers so they have a positive attitude and they're able to go forward and do this as much as possible themselves, because if they have to hire it out, we're lost. We're absolutely lost.
So. Well, Deanne, thank you. You bring the weight and credibility of UC with you. By the way, go Aggies, right?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
We go Aggies. We don't worry about edible sprays. But yes.
Yeah, right. Hang on 1 minute, please, Mr. Corbett.
I just had one comment. I wanted to pick up a little bit on the theme of the chairman and personally thank the University of California, Davis, which is one of the great agricultural universities in the world, to share your wisdom and educational efforts for the benefit of the regional board, dairymen, the environment, and the public. And so the fact you have engaged all the way from the ivory tower down to the fields is greatly appreciated, and I think it really improves the process. So thank you.
Well, we're happy to contribute and to be part of this. It's so much more pleasant to deal with a regional water board where both the board and the staff are engaged in the same process and really embrace the stakeholders in this. So it's been a long 2 years. I think we've all learned in this process, and we have a lot to learn in the next year and a half ahead as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Casey Walsh Katie, followed by Valerie Minton.
Good morning, Chairman Norman, Chairman Noren, and fellow board members. My name is Casey Walsh Cady. I'm a staff environmental scientist at the California Department of Food and Agriculture. I work in Sacramento in the Division of Marketing Services and work a lot with the dairy program. I just wanted to mention some of the historical context of where we are today, and the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program has been mentioned, and Deanne and Denise and some of the other stakeholders are a huge part of that program. CDFA, aka California Department of Food and Ag, helped, was a key instrumental partner in developing CDQAP with under Secretary Ann Veneman, and that was nearly 15 years ago. So I just wanted to provide that historical context, and the outcome of what you're seeing today is because of that strong partnership and the legacy of that program. So we acknowledge their efforts. I also, again, wanted to acknowledge the leadership of the regional board staff, the dairy leaders, UC Cooperative Extension, US EPA, USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service, and especially the producers. I want to let you know that CDFA supports research and education through our dairy marketing program. We work a lot with the Dairy Cares program. And primarily we work on projects related to environmental quality, air quality, a lot in the Central Valley, and water quality as well. Currently, CDFA has a project under consideration that would help provide funding to support dairy producers in meeting some of their regulatory requirements, specifically with mapping the dairies. Again, this is a project proposal that we're currently under review. And again, with respect to the pending program, CDFA supports this program and will work with the stakeholders to ensure its success. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Valerie Minton, followed by Dana Ghirardelli. How about Dana Ghirardelli, followed by Don DiBernardi?
Good morning, Board. My name is Dana Ghirardelli, and I work with Clover Stornada Farms. I'm also the fourth generation of a local dairy production family. And I just wanted to take this time to thank you, to thank your staff, to continue to foster the relationships that have been created through this process over several years. They've been talking about working on this project for 2 years, but really they've fostered what was started prior to that and continued on. And obviously we know that this is a great partnership. We've seen through the history of groups such as the Animal Resource Committee, at least for the Sonoma Marin County area, which I want to say that that's what I'm most familiar with, so I don't mean to leave out other areas. But in regards to that committee, we've seen that working in partnerships and working together gets us to our goals. So I commend the board for supporting the staff in moving forward. I know that the industry is up for the challenge, and we are thankful that we have the benefit of many of our resources, such as the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program, UC Extension, and all those other industry resources, and of course, Western United Dairymen. So I just wanted to thank you very much. I'm glad we are where we're at today. It wasn't without blood, sweat, and tears by some of our staff, but I think we're headed in a great direction, and I'm encouraged for our future. Thank you.
Fantastic. Dana, thank you. Any comments or questions?
Thank
you very much. Don DiBernardi, followed by Dave Renner.
Good morning. I've been in the dairy business for almost 50 years, so I know how this process has worked, and I am the dairy waste chairman. We have a monitoring program that we through Farm Bureau, and with the board, we've had very great success. I mean, working with the board, and I think this program will work. The only thing that scares me is, as dairy farmers, we do not like a lot of paperwork, because that's why we're farmers. We like to work in the soil and stuff. And, you know, I have a couple daughters that help me, so I'm probably lucky. But, you know, I think that we have a good relationship with them, and I think this, I trust Paul Martin and Western United Dairymen, because he knows what's going on more than I do about this, and I think that this program will work. But the paperwork scares me, though. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you, Don. Any questions for Mr. DiBernardi? Thank you, Don. Dave Renner, followed by Alan Levine.
Morning. My name is Dave Renner. We, our family, have actually two dairies up in Humboldt County, and we actually started, my father started on our first dairy dealing with runoff and waste back in the 70s. So we have been at this for a long time. I do want to thank staff. You know, it's really a rare thing when a regulatory agency comes onto your property or deals with you. It's really, they've been good to work with. And he said, Don said that he trusted the Western United people. I trust your staff. They were really good, and I think that the program that's been developed is going to work. I know that I was one of the dairymen who was volunteered to have an assessment. They come onto the property, we everything come back, we look pretty good. I know there's going to be some that are going to be kind of tight on some of the parameters, maybe to qualify for the waiver. I think most everybody would like to get to the waiver, and I hope that for people who are close to it, that we're given some time to meet the requirements, because with working with NRCS and other agencies, and funding is tough. It's not only for the government, it's really tough for us. I know that most ag commodities are doing real well right now. Dairy isn't one of them. When dairy farming is, we kind of feed off of everybody else. If grain people are doing real well, it means we're paying a lot for our feed. So that's how that works with us. So anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to have some comments. And when they, I will say that hopefully when the people come around on the regulatory end of it, that they start looking at the people that haven't done anything first, that haven't volunteered to have anybody look at the property. So with that, I'll take any questions if you have any.
Dave, I appreciate your comments. Getting the incentivization to getting to a waiver was something that I asked about in the beginning. And in fact, I believe that should be a pathway that is open. Of course, there's qualifications to get there, and the waiver process is something that, you know, we're going to sort, as I understand it, how it works now is it sorts itself out. I think there, and we'll come back and maybe have a discussion at the end of this about those pathways and how to do that. But certainly I understand your concern on that. I appreciate your comments. As somebody that's been in that business, just like Don DiBernardi and some of the others that are here as producers, you know, on the ground, literally boots on the ground.
Well, I know that in our area, since I was had an assessment done, the people that hadn't said, well, what was that like? You know, how tough were they? When, you know, I said, you know what, they're good to work with, and you need to. And I think now the fear's kind of gone away, and that everybody will welcome it with open arms and work to get it done, because nobody wants to discharge. And now we know where we're going to go. Part of the problem is we didn't know what we had to do. Now we know what the parameters are. We're not going to spend a lot of money and find out that, oh, guess what? It isn't going to work. You got to do this. So I think we can move forward now. Thank you.
Hang on for one minute, Mr.
Oh, I just wanted to thank the dairy farmers for their active participation. I think that, again, made the program work for both sides of the aisle, so we didn't come out with something that didn't have contact with reality, and then at the same time you could understand where we were coming from. So I appreciate the efforts. And
thank you.
Hold on, Dave.
sorry. Just
so
to respond
now
to
the
Mr.
tough
Renner's
questions come.
Ms. Coleman.
Quick, just to respond to Mr. Renner's comment about going after the folks who aren't participating first. And one of the things we want to lay out in our work plan for the implementation of this program is that we're thinking very much so that our first priority for progressive enforcement will be those people who don't enroll in the program. So, I mean, our first, you know, we've had a lot of great cooperation from people who have stepped forward, and then there are some people who are hiding in their barns, and we need to encourage them out and into the program, and that's probably going to be our first push on our enforcement, progressive enforcement and compliance.
I think that most of the people that are hiding in the barns is just fear. It's just because of the unknown. It's not because they're probably out of compliance.
Well, it helps to hear that you've talked to your neighbors and friends about this and that you said, hey, it's not a bad thing. So The more that gets out, that certainly helps. So.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you. Mr. Alan Levine, followed by Larry Hansen.
Hi, my name's Alan Levine. I represent Coast Action Group. I'd like to welcome Irene, a new member of the board that I haven't met yet. This dairy program's been a long time in the making, and we certainly need it to make improvements and put protections in place for our surface waters and groundwater. So the process is encouraging. However, there are some issues. And the first issue I want to bring up were late documents that came in that weren't allowed into the record, and I object to that. If testimony here today is admissible to the record, then those documents are admissible to the record. And there's another aspect of that. There was a statement that CEQA doesn't apply to this process because it's only dairies, and I think CEQA does apply. I think there's probably an exemption for benefit to the environment, but you need to make CEQA findings on that. I think that this board needs to comply with CEQA. So I'd like you to reconsider that position. One of the late letters was from River Watch, and I'm going to bring up some issues that are noted in the letter, this for the record. The permits and supporting documents contain conflicting language regarding the types of waste discharges allowed and the applicable water quality limits. In addition, the program relies on, oops, missing the page. Oh, okay. Relies on self-enrollment by existing dairies. This approach is similar to the board's existing waiver program, and it hasn't been successful in the past. So they're requesting additional compliance safeguards to ensure dairies are permitted as required by California Water Code. The inconsistent language is permit language that allows dairies to retain leaking ponds and allows runoff from waste application areas. Most troubling is permit language, waiver orders numbers 13 and 22, GWDR orders number 13 and 23, that allows waste discharges into ground or surface waters as long as pollutant levels do not cause an exceedance of water quality objectives. Allowing waste discharges into waters in a manner that degrades existing water quality is not consistent with state and federal anti-degradation standards. Under section compliance with water quality objectives, both state permits have minimal required surface water monitoring. The surface water monitoring that is required uses ammonia as a surrogate for dairy waste pollution. However, the permits fail to include an enforceable limit for ammonia pollution. Bioavailable forms of ammonia can be extremely toxic to aquatic life at very low concentrations. The regional board has never adopted ammonia limits into the basin plan, making it even more critical that such enforceable limits be made part of each permit. So those are the main ideas from Riverwatch. Maybe there's another one. He requests that all dairies in the region be sent letters asking them to enroll, and I think Kat addressed that. My own personal views on this are that level of risk should be a large part of the application of this permitting process. For instance, there's a dairy in my neighborhood that has direct discharge, a discrete conveyance, but it's so low in the river, and there's a large number of animals there too. It's so low in the river that the impact is most likely negligible. However, they should measure or monitor for constituent issues. And then you take an area like the Laguna Santa Rosa, where the cow population density might not be as high as on the Garcia River at the bottom, but the Laguna is problematic as far as nutrient values are concerned, so that the application of standards there should be much more stricter. So I think the application needs to be variable. And other considerations in that are like 699 cows is the threshold for medium to CAFO limits. The 699 mature cows, like what's a mature cow? Is that a milking cow? Is that a springer where they might have 400 extra springers ready for replacement? And, you know, where is the location of those? And another consideration is the density, how many animals and how much of an area, when that would apply to risk. So I think maybe these issues need to be looked at before approval, especially the CEQA issues and the ammonia issue, and also a consideration about fencing of dairy cows and replacement animals from sensitive areas like near stream areas. So that needs to be brought into the permit considerations. That's it for me on this one.
Okay, thank you. I see council raising their hand, probably to address an issue.
Mr. Chair, if I could address the CEQA issue, hopefully to the satisfaction of Mr. Levine, right?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, we are complying fully with CEQA through the use of an exemption. Actually, there's three that apply, the existing facilities exemption, minor alterations of land, and the replacement of existing structures. So the permits were very carefully crafted so that there would be no expansion of the design capacity of the facilities, so they would fall within these exemptions. This is consistent with what Region 2 and Region 5 have done. So I think there may have been some confusion regarding our compliance with CEQA, but we are certainly relying properly on CEQA exemptions.
Yeah, I'm going by what it's set up on the board. And if you're complying with CEQA, then anything said to the end of this testimony, including late letters, has to be part of the file.
not late letters beyond the public comment period. Now, oral testimony is acceptable at the public hearing, but not late comment letters.
Okay, well, I covered River Watch's testimony.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I address the late letter issue? We're not going to accept late letters on this. The comment period closed. I think you sufficiently covered in your comments, Alan, the substantive issue of those, and I think they are in the record. Can I also address the enrollment issue, because I think it's clear that there is a process here to enroll these dairies and to get them sorted to the spot that they need to be. I think also there's a time period that goes with that. I hear that there's also an issue with, or a thought that if you do not enroll, then you're not in compliance and you're subject then to progressive enforcement. And I think everybody nods their head on that one, and I do not disagree with you on that. Last point that I think you raised was the issue of impacts to water, surface water laguna in particular. I believe the waiver, actually, you cannot qualify for a waiver, nor can you qualify for the GWDR, I believe, if you have any discharge. Sure. So if you discharge under those permits, you're in violation. And that's how it goes, period. That's a bright line. And I think that as that goes, I think we're, as far as the laguna goes, we know it's nutrient paired. I think the TMDL is maybe going to push that or affect that process in some ways. These permits, as they go now, are ahead. I think we'll address some of this as we go. Any other comments or questions? Kat, did you want to say something? No? Mr. Corbett.
Oh, I just want to say I think your concept of risk assessments is a good approach for the future on identifying areas that are outside the norm established here.
Yeah, I think Sherry said something about that, too. But it was unclear how it's going to work.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Last speaker card I have is for Larry Hansen.
Hi. Larry Hansen here representing Northern California River Watch. And as you probably know, we're concerned with the protection of all the Northern California streams with regard to, especially regard to water quality. First comment, please consider the size and number of the cows or other grazing animals when evaluating pollution potential, which could include the geography of the land and the location of the streams on the land in order to determine the pollution potential for the surface and groundwater. Another concern is the protection of streams for grazing animals if they can enter the riparian zones. And some of the real concerns here, I personally am involved in a area of protecting Green Valley Creek, actually. We worked in a restoration area for a long time. And for many years, there was, two horses and a very small herd of cows. But they had access to the riparian area. And we worked for years to try to restore that area. And they undid just about every improvement that we made on there. And we finally got the landowners to remove them from entering the zone, and it made all the difference in the world. In 1 year, it had an amazing positive impact on the restoration area. So firsthand observing of how that works. With that in mind, entry into the riparian zone can cause stream bank deterioration. It can cause impacts in the stream channel up and down from the areas that where the animals entered. Entry can result in the browsing of willows and other riparian plants that can increase erosion, loss of shade canopy, which impacts the water temperature that, as you know, is very critical for the salmonids and other wildlife. Another question or concern is the ponds. How will leaking ponds be determined and dealt with? And finally, how will ranchers be identified who don't you answered the question of what happens if they don't self-identify at all. But what happens if they self-identify incorrectly? How would that be dealt with? Anyway, some of those are concerns and considerations as you go forward with the permitting process, and wish you good luck on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. Any comments or questions? Okay. This might no other speaker cards. Nobody else in queue. I would ask that Sherry and Lisa come back, address any further closing comments. A number of comments at the end, Sherry, that maybe you can address. I believe that number of cows is a qualifying criteria for all these facilities. It has number of cows built into it. Ponds, I believe, are also part of the criteria for assessment. As these facilities are looked at, sized, there's a storm criteria that goes with that. Actually, Deanne Myers and others talked about that this morning a bit. And the assessment process, I think, is something that's ongoing. It sounds like you've done a certain number, you and Lisa, and probably, I believe you worked with Tetra Tech and some others in doing this. But it sounds like you're not done. In this process and time frame that we discussed when you were here just a few minutes ago, I asked you about that time frame. And in that time frame, how many, as a percentage of dairies and facilities, how many would you have looked at by the time that that is enrollment period is up?
We will have looked at 55, 56 dairies of the 140 or so dairies that we have, so about a third.
Okay. As enrollment goes then and these facilities self-sort, they get their plans together, they get enrolled, and they start going then. I assume that there's follow-through and further assessments and as you go, not only to check, verify, but also to become familiar with these facilities and what's going on out there.
Yes, and you know, once we have this permit, we can do a lot of inspections. Right now, we've been relying on volunteers. So it's possible that the good guys have come forward first. So we would be interested in going to the dairies that are either afraid to have us on site or have trouble meeting the water quality requirements. Those might be the next people that we would visit. I just wanted to, in general, thank the people who have spoke, the first six people who have spoke, I think everybody was very supportive of the program. These are stakeholders that came to our meetings regularly. Mm-hmm. The last two speakers had specific comments that were not supportive of the permits, and I wanted to speak to those issues, if I could.
Yes, please.
One was that we didn't have anti-degradation. There is a particular finding on anti-degradation in the permits, and I wanted to point that out, that no anti-degradation, no degradation is allowed under these permits. Ammonia toxicity, we spoke to Region 5 about how they enforce the ammonia toxicity, and they have guidelines on their website to ensure that when dairies are testing for ammonia, that they do not go to those toxic levels. And we can put that type of guidance also on our website so that toxicity is followed. That needs to be followed anyway through our permits. And if that guidance helps, that's good. We need these permits now. If we wait and make the permits more strict, I'm afraid a lot of dairies will not be able to meet this and dairies will go out of business. We had to consider economics. I think that these permits do consider economics, and this is probably the best level that we could go at. I think that these permits rely a lot on inspections, and we need to do some inspections to see more dairies, especially people that come forward and need help in determining what level they need to go at the waiver, the GWDR or the NPDES permit.
Well, it strikes me too that you're not doing this alone. You actually have you're very lucky, actually, I think, to have this universe of interested parties, stakeholders, professionals, institutions, all these groups out here that are going down that road with you in this assessment plan process, sorting. I see the sorting process and the enrollment process as a process of discovery in many ways, not only are you going to find out who enrolls and who doesn't, but then you're going to start to sort these things out and see how they enroll, what's their needs, what are they struggling with, or what are they doing well, by the way, and how this permit works. I think it's very much a process of discovery as we go.
Yes. You know, one of the most interesting DARE assessments that we went on was Dennis Leonardi. He used to be our board member in 2005. And he had a really good point that having this new dairy program will bring the level up. All of the dairies are going to do some improvements. Some really common improvements are to have rain gutters to separate the fresh water, the storm water, from the dirty water. And a lot of people need to do some really easy fixes to reduce the pond sizes that are needed. They can do that simple separation with some rain gutters on their buildings and possibly have to build more roofs. I know a lot of them would like to meet the new requirements and do some easy fixes. I think that they'll I know that there's some fear out there, and I think that we can help those people. I wanted to encourage dairy operators that have fear to call us. They can call us anonymously. We have really old telephones that don't have caller ID. They can say, I might know this dairy producer, and if this dairy producer has this problem, what should they do? You know, so they can go ahead and call us and ask us, you know, anonymous questions if they want.
I just wanted to say a couple other things about the last set of public comments. I think all three of the permits that are considered for adoption do have prohibitions for contact with live animals in the stream courses. They might look a little different in the GWDR and the waiver from the MPDS, but all three permits do have that component in there. So we're not envisioning that we would allow animals in surface water. And also our basin plan has the surface water toxicity objective, and because ammonia is a toxic constituent, that those ammonia numbers are enforceable under the basin plan.
Thank you for that clarification. Any other board member comments or questions? Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
I think one of this is just an absolute example of where we have encouraged amongst ourselves the involvement of board members outside of the boardroom and dealing with the community, with water bodies, and protecting those. And I noticed that we have given applause and thanks to the staff, who certainly deserve it, and the public, which has brought this forward. But I cannot let this go on without acknowledging Mr. David Noren, who joined our board approximately 4 years ago, looked at the dairy industry and said, we don't have a permit. We don't have anything on dairies. And so Mr. Noren has taken it upon himself to push this forward. And everybody is saying it's a long 2 years. I can only tell you how jealous I am in terms of sewers. 2 years is but a heartbeat. This is wonderful. You have done absolute wonderful work inside 2 years. 2 years for some of the things we do just doesn't get it. So with that, I would give you a motion to accept. First of all, I would say thank you very much. You've done just an outstanding job on this, and this is wonderful, as well as the staff and everybody involved. I would give you a motion to accept the R1 2012-001 and R1 2012-002 and R1 2012-003, and I would make that as a motion, sir.
The changes.
Okay. And sorry about that, and the changes that are on those.
Noted changes. I had a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have a dairy permit. Thank you.
Yeah. Here all the way around.
Before everybody goes, actually, I'd like to call Paul Martin up. Paul has some unfinished business that needs to be brought to the fore.
Thank you, David. Yes, I do. Kat, would you like to join me? And Jovita, could I get you to come on up to the front of the room? I have a great deal of fun introducing Jovita to people. She has been seen sneaking out of meetings to go to the local bar for a martini. I should preface that by saying she works for EPA.
Yeah.
Or she retired from EPA on December 31. So she worked there for 30 years. She's also likes her steaks rare. And she rides a motorcycle. This is the kind of woman we can work with in the dairy industry.
I'm telling all my secrets.
But she's been a longtime representative from Region 9 EPA to the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program. She's been instrumental in obtaining funding to do the dairy assessments that were just done and is still being done here in the North Coast. She's a longtime representative of Region 9 EPA to the California Roundtable for Ag and Environment. And she's a graduate of the California Ag Leadership Program. So, Jovita, on your retirement, we just want to say thank you for all that you have done. And we got a little memento for you to take home.
That was very nice, Paul. I don't know what I'd add other than I've known Jovita for way too many years to confess to at this point.
We were
kittens together, shared a litter box at EPA. And I've been known to go out and have those martinis with Jovita as well. And Jovita's just been an inspiration for me throughout her career and my career of her ability to reach out and work with other people. I tend to be more of a regulator, and I have this great friend who is a really great collaborator, and I've always really valued that. So,
I'd like to read you the inscription, Jovita Pajarillo, U.S. EPA, in recognition of your leadership in creating fruitful partnerships with California agriculture. From the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program, from Sustainable Conservation, from California Department of Food and Ag, Western United Dairymen, USDA Rural Development, UC Davis Animal Science,
pretty cool.
Thank you, Jovita. All right, fantastic. Thank you very much for everybody's hard work on this. Thank you, staff, participants, and producers. We have a dairy permit. We're going to move on to item number 10, which is our temperature.